Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 182, recorded on June 20th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going just dang fine. And how about you?
I just realized that I didn't fill up my water bottle.
Oh, well, you totally failed at planning ahead.
Yeah, I'll probably die by the end of this of dehydration.
Yeah. And the views on this show will go through the roof.
The views.
Tune in the show where Michael dies.
Yeah. The views.
Did you guys see that Andrew WK is like has been doing a 24-hour drum thing in New York? He's been playing the drums for 24 hours. Well, not maybe. Maybe he's ended, but maybe he's ended his life because he's been playing drums for 24 hours. I don't know. Oh, Adam Christensen's also here. You're now allowed to talk, Adam. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going okay.
Good.
I've almost recovered from WWDC.
Yeah, did you catch anything? Go.
I still feel like I got slammed.
Yeah, that wonderful, wonderful lag after a conference.
It's just, you know, being on vacation and kind of doing nothing for that whole period and then coming back to like 10,000 articles in your news feed is always fun.
Yeah, vacation's exhausting.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah, it looks like he has two more hours of drum party hours to go. So, yes, he's been doing it. The plan is 24 hours, and I've been following his Twitter. And the thing I don't understand about it is, how is he tweeting while he plays drums?
He has people.
Maybe he's using Siri.
He doesn't have an iPhone. At least that's what he told me.
Oh, well, then he has people.
I think he has handlers. And by handlers,
as one does,
I think he probably just has a very supportive wife.
Designated tweet peeps.
Yeah, he also has a pizza guitar.
Hmm.
A guitar that looks like a big slice of pizza. And he played it. He played it with a slice of pizza once. I saw it. It was awesome. It didn't sound too good. All right, so we should talk about iOS
better
stuff.
Better if you could eat it.
Well, he ate the pizza, not the guitar, but he just loves pizza.
I love pizza, too. It's could be quite possibly the world's most perfect food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People look at me with sadness and disdain when I eat pizza.
Because no dairy on it?
Because there's no cheese on it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, how can you possibly eat that? I'm like, suck
still
it,
good.
People. Yeah, it's good.
Do you use that fake cheese?
I have not made my own pizza with it yet, but that fake cheese that I tried at Macworld, I would totally do pizzas with that. That stuff was like magic.
Do you know what it was? Veggie shreds?
No.
Okay.
I don't remember.
This is getting way too far off in the wrong direction.
I could take it even further if you'd like.
Okay, let's not. And well, maybe later, but we got to bring it back so the people don't run away.
So, Adam.
No, iOS 7 apparently allows users to Zoom while recording video, which I think they might have mentioned during the keynote. I don't think we talked about it, but there was a really good video uploaded by somebody who shouldn't have uploaded it, I guess.
If Apple talked about it, then the NDA doesn't apply.
Okay. So
I don't think they did. They didn't talk about this, though, did they?
They said video Zoom.
Yeah, I thought they did mention that. It was on one of those slides where they have a bunch of words.
Yeah. So that makes it open season.
But it looks really cool. Did you guys see that video?
No.
Yeah, it's just...
the non-lossy Zoom, right?
Yeah, it seems like a non-lossy Zoom. It looks good. The Zoom is pretty smooth. And when you get to the end point of the Zoom, the video is also quite high quality. And I would say that you probably don't want to do this with anything other than like an iPhone 5.
You know, the problem with using Zoom on an iPhone or an iPad is that it's not optical.
Yeah, you're just cropping the video.
Yeah, so...
But it looks good for cropping video. So if you need to zoom in on something and it's, you know, video, not zooming in on photos is one thing, because in the end you can zoom in on it and crop it and do all that stuff that you want. But with video, I would say that it makes a lot more sense because of the way that people consume video. They're not going to be, you certainly, it's much more difficult to crop it in the end with video, and do it dynamically is even more difficult. So if you want part of
actually,
it
cropping
in,
video in part of movie is really easy.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, I don't play with that. But I mean, in the end, when you're watching it though, is also pretty difficult to do that. So I think it looks good. So cool feature. I like it. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, I just watched the video. Yeah.
And the quality, I mean, keep in mind the next iPhone should have a higher res cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. What is it? It's 1080p in the 5, right?
Right.
And it was 1080p in the 4S as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't do it on an iPhone 4.
Oh, I guess video is different, right?
Video is different. You have, but I think it's probably the same.
1080p is pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. But does the 4S have that visual?
The 5S is going to have a 4K camera built in, I heard.
Heck yes.
Yeah, I heard they teamed up with Red.
It's going to be the Project Red iPhone 5, and it will also, it'll come in, the smallest size will be like 128 gigabytes.
Right, and the iPhone itself will be like the current iPhone 5, just a few millimeters thick, except in one corner where it sticks out about 8 inches for the lens.
It'd be like a freaking Lytro camera on the side of the thing.
And right. You know that rumor about the gold color? Actual gold. Yeah. 24 karat.
Well, it's because Apple doesn't cut corners. They may chamfer them, but they won't cut.
Yep.
Why do people listen to this show?
Because they love us. So we should talk about the cool hidden settings that are in iOS 7 that someone found, and they're being a big jerk and they won't tell anybody how he found them.
Well, because it's NDA.
I don't think it's NDA. I don't think Apple wants anybody to know about this. But so the cool thing about it is, and I think they've talked about it. It's NDA for Apple only. Yeah. I think Apple mentioned it at some point, either during a session. I think it was during one of the UI sessions this year, while developing iOS 7, they added in a bunch of extra options to tweak the interface as they were developing it to figure out what worked best.
Yeah, this is in here so they can quickly try things out and they don't have to keep rebuilding the OS every time they want to, hey, let's try out.
Let's change, like, cut a hair off the the animations.
Gestures from the corner. Corner swipes.
Yeah, they don't have to recompile every single time. Yeah, it totally makes sense.
So the thing this has in here is more gestures. I believe you can assign them to various things.
A gazillion things.
Yeah, there's a gazillion things in here for sure. You can tweak the way the parallax looks and works, the way the dock works, folders. You can have nested folders. You can turn on nested folders with this thing. Tweak the zoom animations, tweak control center. I mean, there's a video of this person going through a couple of them, and they haven't shown all the stuff that's in there. And of course, we don't know how to get there, so we don't know all the stuff that's in there. And some of the stuff that is in there, just as they were flicking through, I mean, they changed 5 out of 500 settings.
This is all about rapid prototyping for the internal developers at Apple. So somebody sat down in a room and went, okay, what are all the possible gestures we might ever want to use? And what are all the possible ways we might want to let people deal with folder structure? And what are all the possible, zoom animations that we might want to do? What are all the things that we may or may not want in Control Center? And they just put all those in there and then gave toggles for turning them on and off so that they can quickly just try things out and decide, okay, well, that's not really going to work or that's too confusing. All of this stuff is going to be gone by the time
they release
the final build, because they will have narrowed down which kinds of gestures and features and functionality they're going to want. So that's that. I mean, it's not surprising that this is in there right now. And it makes sense why it's there, but it's certainly, it's just giving Apple a quick way where they can test out different ideas and concepts that they might be thinking of.
Yeah, one of the ideas they had was the ability to remove stock apps.
Yep.
Which, everybody wants that. They really need to do that.
No, not remove.
Yeah, obviously they don't need to. They're Apple. They can do whatever the hell they want.
They could put in a hide option.
A hide option. Yeah, a hide option would be great. I would love
and
a
then
hide
that
option.
Way, if whatever you choose as your alternate email application, you decide to delete, you're not suddenly screwed because then Apple's own mail application magically reappears.
The one thing I'll say about that is historically I would say to you, no way is Apple going to give you those options. But just based on this WWDC keynote, it seemed to me like one of the big philosophical changes that seems to be happening post Steve Jobs, and I haven't made a judgment whether it's for the good or the worst, is that they do seem, especially in this version of iOS, to be giving power users a lot more control.
Yeah.
I think they're riding a fine line, though, because the interfaces start to get real encumbered. And if you look at this interface specifically, like Apple could totally make all of this, obviously make all this stuff available. But my God, what a freaking messed up user interface experience would it be?
Yeah,
and then everybody's phone would be the different. So I couldn't pick up someone else's iOS device and even know what the heck was going on. So from a power user perspective, it's amazing, right? And be like, oh, it'd be so awesome if we had all of this control. The flip side of that is there's a lot of detriment behind it. But I do think that Apple is certainly exposing a lot more power user controls when you look at things like I think we've heard about, I can't remember if they showed it off or it just got leaked, the ability to look at like cellular data usage and then turn off cellular data per application and things like that.
Yeah.
So those additional toggles and settings are things like we wouldn't have probably had in the past, but Apple seems to be opening up a lot more of those types of power user controls. So they sort of set a default for everybody, but still buried in the settings, you have new kinds of toggles and functionality. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they let us have and how much they keep sort of internal.
Right.
But I think they're going further than they've ever gone before and ever would have under Steve Jobs' watch.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the fact that Tim Cook even mentioned, what was it at All Things D, that there would be more API access for developers.
Yeah.
That's part of the new Apple.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if we would have gotten Control Center under Steve Jobs, because even looking at that interface, it's more complex than anything Apple has ever sort of done in terms of a UI. Like, that panel, when it slides up, frankly, it looks
like
there's
a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Steve Jobs would have hated that thing.
I would like to be able to customize that. I would like to be able to add, because there are like four icons down at the bottom.
Yeah. See, because now you're already going off Apple's rails.
Keep going off.
That's why you jailbreak.
Yeah. I don't like jailbreaking. I just like the stuff that comes with the jailbreak.
And there'll be a jailbreak, I'm sure, to hack the Control Center and put whatever you frickin' want on that thing.
Man, I wonder if there's going to be a jailbreak. Those guys do not seem like they're too keen on doing the jailbreak rat race anymore.
They're getting tired. Apple's worn them down.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a whole lot of reason either. You know, if you look at in the Cydia store these days, I mean, it used to be that stuff was updated fairly often and there were more things added in there all the time. And I mean, stuff just is not being updated anymore.
Well, do you think that's a function of Apple adopting more things like, you know, Control Center? And I mean, with iOS 7, they are adding a lot of things, you know, taking away a lot of things people, I think, used to jailbreak for.
You know, I would say it's possible. There are only a few things that I do use jailbreak for, and I think that you know, for example, I customize the clicks of the home button to do certain things for me. I don't think I'll have to do that anymore because of the control center, and in multitasking they're very distinct things now. So you swipe up for the control center and you double click for the multitasking, and those are kind of combined right now in iOS 6. And so That way you don't need to make the home button do tons of crazy things.
Yeah. There's less levels of swiping. I was trying to come up with how to say that when I recorded my show. And I think I said there's less swiping. I don't think there's necessarily less swiping, but there's less sort of movement from moving away from the current panels that you're on or the interface that you're in. It's this whole layered concept that they're going with.
Yeah, and I really like it.
I like it a lot better, too. The concept of being able to pull Spotlight Search from whatever home screen I happen to be on.
That is awesome. Really convenient, and I would also say really hard for anybody to find.
I don't get that though, because that's been a complaint that's been levied too, and I'm arguing that
my mom didn't know. I did tell her. She's like, "What? Pull down from where?"
But you tell her once, and
sure, yeah, that's certainly.
It. I mean, it's a half second learning curve, and frankly, I think what Apple's taking liberty with, and I think they can, is the fact that we have now lived with touch swipe interfaces for 3-4 years now, and so most people will experiment and try little things, and they know the gesture language, right? They know about tap and swipe and two finger swipe and pinch, and so you have that language. You don't have to teach people that anymore, and that's why I think things like on the lock screen, Apple getting rid of the button. You've noticed how many demos have shown, you know, somebody, even an experienced user, goes to do the slide down lock thing and they slide up because they have that little arrow indicator, right? And then the control center comes up and they go, oh, that's not right. But the immediate next thing that almost every one of them does is they swipe across the screen another.
Yeah.
Whether they go the right direction or not is a whole other thing. They might go the wrong way at first.
They do go the wrong way. I would say I always go in the, you know, 5 times that I've played with iOS 7, I've gone the wrong way.
But you figure it out, and it's not a super negative experience, I don't think.
I think it is. I think they need to tweak that. And I don't see any reason for them to not tweak that, though. See, there are quite a few things in iOS 7 that are awesome. There are quite a few things in iOS 7 that need work for sure. And of the ones that do need work, I would say there's a lot of stuff that they just simply, it would be surprising to me if they change it by the time we get to a public release because of the nature of a beta, which is telling developers, this is what you're developing for. This is the direction in which you should move. But on the other hand, there are a lot of things that they can definitely change because it's not something that would really affect developers too greatly, or the perception of how iOS 7 is or should work. Stuff like the lock screen, I think, could be tweaked a little bit. And I think that the idea that, I don't know. I think they should do something else with the swipe to unlock thing. And I haven't played too much with notifications and what that looks like on there either. I think there are quite a few things like the slide to answer call, slide to unlock, slide to turn off, all those different things. Those are just flat bars where the text shimmers in that way that it always has. But it just doesn't look right. You can understand how it works, but it doesn't make a damn bit of sense, because a lot of the stuff in iOS traditionally, and I think even still in going into the future, uses animation to provide context in a sense of what's going on with the things that you're doing, such as when you delete a message, it gets sucked down in the trash can, or if you move something into a folder, it jumps down into the folder, that kind of stuff.
I think you need to use iOS for at least a week before iOS 7 for a week before you make those judgments.
I agree.
Okay, well, I'll say that my initial impressions of iOS 7 have gone in the positive since using it for a little bit. but I think that there still are quite a few things that they need to change. And of course, we talked about last week that based on what we've heard, rumor-wise, they still plan on doing a lot more work on it. Obviously, we haven't seen it available for the iPad yet. Voice Memos app isn't available yet. I think there's a lot of stuff that still needs some fit and finish and reworking and tweaking. So I'm not... In 2 months from now, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I will tell you my one biggest area of concern with the control center are all the games that rely on a swipe up gesture. And I'm thinking of like one of my favorites, which is why am I blanking on it suddenly? The skee-ball game. Holy crap. From Icon Factory.
Oh yeah, Ramp Champ.
Oh yeah.
Ramp Champ. Jeez.
You know, okay,
my brain
so
went dead for a second there.
I think that there
I have a feeling I'm gonna be playing that game and constantly look having Game Center come up.
Yeah.
Or I'm in Control Center.
Well, I'll say this. Either there is an option in the settings to turn off those gestures. And actually, there definitely is an option to turn off Control Center, for sure. But I also think that I've heard in one of the sessions that developers who... recompile their app have, of course, they have more access to stuff and they have the ability to tell the operating system that to disable those extra gestures.
See, I thought about that too.
But then it screws with people. Hey, why can't I get my thing up?
Yeah, that messes with your head. You don't know why suddenly, why is that not working in this app?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be a bad thing. But that, again, goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If that's in there, in some ways that's kind of cool because that's Apple doing something that they would never have done in the past. Steve Jobs would be like, we own the swipe up from the bottom of the screen gesture and, you know, forget you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the mentality. So if there is a toggle in there that developers can take advantage of, that is in a way Tim Cook sort of expanding the APIs or, you know, not specifically Tim Cook, but... that Tim Cook's Apple, you know, recognizing that they need to give that to developers. But
yeah.
That would have not happened under an old Apple.
It's certainly,
I mean, we saw it with when they sort of took control of multi-finger gestures in a lot of way.
Yeah. So what do you think about the possibility that Apple will be opening APIs to Siri in iOS 7 at this point? Because I would say that it's not
they better
happen.
Dang do it. I think they have to. I mean, if they're going to keep up with what Google's doing with Google Now and Android devices, I think they need to do that.
You know, I would say that they have to as well, but I mean, it's not there.
Well,
iOS, the beta of
they
iOS
haven't shown us that it's there.
Yeah, that's true. But the beta for iOS is out.
They've classically held back features until,
but not yes, APIs. Have they held back APIs?
That I don't know.
How wouldn't deep surprise have you gone into the APIs? Sorry, Jeff.
No, that's okay. I'm just curious. I'm not curious. I'm saying if there is an API that is not critical for developers for launch, but could be really useful for them, and it reveals a feature that Apple wants to keep as a big surprise, I could see them holding that back.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me as well. I mean, they don't have to give that to developers for launch day. They could make it available and at the launch of iOS and then let developers roll it in as they can.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that that is one of those things that maybe they just didn't have done in... Because it's clear that they are behind a bit more than they classically are, and it makes sense because they've made a lot of changes. And as we were saying, this is a new Apple. This is Tim Cook's Apple, and there are a lot of things that are different. And last year we saw Mountain Lion come out as a beta with no fanfare whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
the other thing Apple could do with Siri APIs is they could have them in there and be working with specific partners and app developers that they think would immediately benefit on launch day from having that functionality in there, that tight integration with Siri, mm-hmm. and hammering out bugs with them in a small controlled group that are under a very strict NDA and controlled, and then open up the APIs after launch. But then you could still have a number of apps that on launch day have new Siri functionality in them. You know what I mean? Like key apps.
Apple has done stuff like that in the past, so yeah. I could see them absolutely doing that again.
Yep.
Do you remember what they call Siri? What's the code name for Siri?
Siri.
Isn't it like Valerie or something?
Bitch.
I use that too. I use a lot of really strong words with Siri when she gets things wrong. Like, take me to this very specific place that's like near me. And she's like, okay, taking you a place in North Carolina. I'm not sure this is what you meant, but I'm doing it anyway.
Well, maybe she knows what's best for you.
I don't think so. All right. Where are we at? Oh, there's a video of iOS 7 running on an iPad, which initially there was a screenshot or a video or something like that of it in the simulator with like a with the flashlight button. I don't think that was accurate, but I think that this one looks pretty accurate. And
isn't it just going to be here officially from Apple in a couple of weeks? So
yeah, it looks.
This didn't get me all that excited.
No. It doesn't get me excited either. It just kind of gives you a nice idea for what it's going to look like and how it's going to work on the iPad.
But I don't even think it's legit. Like, I think this is what it's going to look like.
I think it is legit. It looks legit to me. Okay. So let's talk about real things.
Yes.
iOS 7 on Apple TV has added, as far as we can tell at this point, two interesting features. The first being what we already knew, which is iTunes Radio. Very nice. The other one is conference room display. And that essentially sets the Apple TV up in a way that you can have it in your conference room or another meeting place where you would want someone to be able to share their screen to the Apple TV via AirPlay. So it just throws up, it's very plain screen that says, this TV can be AirPlayed to, join this Wi-Fi network, and then use this specific Apple TV in order to show your stuff there. And I think that'll be quite nice for places that are, you know, bringing that in there. I'm kind of surprised that we didn't see anything about Apple TV at WWDC either, other than iTunes Radio.
Well, and I didn't even think they mentioned it even in that context. Did they? Or did they say it'll be on Apple TV?
I think Eddie Q might have said, and on Apple TV.
Yeah,
I think
that it was almost only, like an aside.
Yeah.
Or a, oh, by
but
the
a
way.
A very important aside.
I can see that based on how much work they still have yet to go do on iOS 7, it makes sense that Apple TV has lagged behind. I would say that it's pretty obvious that Apple TV is soon going to get some extended capability.
I'm with you there, but based on the next story that you're going to talk about, I'm not excited about what Apple's doing with Apple TV currently.
Well, the fact that, okay, so they've, with the current iOS 6 or whatever Apple TV version we're talking about, the one that's out for real people who aren't stealing beta software, they have just pushed out an update that adds Watch ESPN, which I've never heard of, HBO Go, Sky News, and I think a couple other. There was a Crunchyroll.
Yep.
Yeah, the
Japanese anime service.
So what is Watch ESPN? Is that?
It's just ESPN.
Okay, it's ESPN. Yeah.
But the problem here is HBO and ESPN are tied to your cable company, so you've got to do the stupid I have cable service and I get those channels. If you don't get the channels, you don't get the live stuff at all.
Which
if you don't
totally dumb
get HBO through your cable provider, you don't get HBO, so there's no option to in-app purchase a subscription to HBO for $10-$20 a month or whatever. you know, I've got to jump my cable subscription by $80 a month plus whatever HBO costs on top of that if I want to get HBO on my Apple TV. Well, screw that. I'm already going to have it through my cable company. I already got it on my TV. I guess I get on demand, so that's the advantage there, right? As I can go back and watch whatever shows whenever I want. But for $90 a month just to get HBO content, screw that. Sorry. It just peeves me off that all this stuff, you know, we want it. The whole point of the Apple TV in my mind is so that I can cut the cord, not that I have to become more dependent on the cord.
Well, I don't think that this has anything to do with what Apple wants to do or how Apple wants to operate the Apple TV. It's kind of the best that they can get at this point, and that's probably part of the reason that this
rumored...
Yeah, these
rumored are only two features, though, Apple and TV I is... expect better from Apple. Well,
as we've talked about before, places like HBO have certain deals that prohibit them from doing anything much greater than what they're doing right now with HBO Go.
Yes and no. I mean, they have a choice to do the whole payola thing with the cable companies, and I'm sure it's very lucrative for them, so it would be a very financially painful decision to make, but it doesn't preclude them from making that decision. And I guess are they a public company? I don't even know.
I think they are.
Yeah, and so their shareholders would be pissed, so they probably can't do anything about it. But at the same time, we've got to move away from this legacy.
I agree.
Garbage.
I mean, I want to watch Game of Thrones, and I can't because I don't have cable, and I don't have any friends who are gonna. I mean, I don't have any friends who have HBO, so I can't like borrow their.
Well,
their
let's
logins.
Be honest, though. I mean, how are you going to get it? You're going to go where you can go.
I'm going to go pirate it, or maybe one of our listeners is going to share a login with me. That'd be cool.
Exactly. So, like, these guys are just, they're, because you and I, inherently, I would want to pay for it. Like I said, you know, I think it costs about $10 a month on top of whatever my cable package is if I want to get HBO. I haven't researched in a long time. Maybe it costs more than that. But frankly, I would probably pay $20 or $30 a month just to get that show directly.
Yeah.
Like I buy it when it comes out on iTunes, and I think it's about $30-$35 for the season, whatever it is. So I'm already paying that.
That's a lot of money.
I would pay it earlier.
You know, I think part of the problem isn't so much HBO. Okay, HBO is part of the problem. But I think that a bigger piece is that HBO kind of has their hands tied because they already have deals in place that they agreed to where they're not going to let their content out in other ways. So until they can renegotiate those deals, they can't do anything else. Well, HBO is really weird about their content. I mean, they like to hold it really close to their chest. But I have a feeling that with CW getting ready to roll out their content through Apple TV and as they see other deals coming together, they will be more inclined to renegotiate those deals so they can say, all right, you want to pay us $10 a month or whatever it is, then you can have our content right through your Apple TV.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I don't really fully understand the set-top box industry as it exists today because I'm not a big-time cable subscriber, and maybe I don't understand why people are buying Rokus or Apple TVs or something like that. But it seems to me, if you look at now the out-of-the-box experience, if I buy an Apple TV and I put it in my home network, yeah, I get all the iTunes stuff, so that's always been there. But now, pretty much as a new consumer, I'm going to go in and all of those channels that are there on the home screen now, probably 50%, maybe more, I haven't counted, all require some sort of paid subscription or some sort of tie-in to my cable provider or some sort of extra thing. Otherwise, I'm getting a bunch of just sample clip, you know, bit content that I really don't care about. So to me, having that stuff in there for a person like myself degrades the experience. But maybe, again, maybe I'm not the target customer. Maybe I'm not the right person that's wanting to buy this device. I love my Apple TV for all the tie-in with iTunes, and I'm fine with just that. But I'm just trying to think the mindset of the average consumer who buys an Apple TV and is like, oh, look, there's ESPN on here, and you got to watch something. And it's like, you don't have it on your cable. It's blocked. It's like,
that's
like
totally
going
dumb.
To watch the sport game and you're in a blackout, right? And you're like, F, you know, frack.
Yeah.
Sucks.
It does.
screw the cable company, screw Apple and their stupid TV.
I like my Apple TV.
No, I love mine too. I'm playing the, you know,
yeah,
the person who doesn't stay up on this stuff like we do. You know, they buy this Apple TV, they're like, oh, it's got all this cool stuff on it, and they don't realize it's all paid and extra and locked in. So, but again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe consumers know all this stuff.
It's like watching. I mean, you have your Apple TV hooked up to a TV, and you have to have HBO on your cable box. So you probably have your cable box hooked up to your TV too.
Yep.
So you're basically just using a different remote.
Exactly. And actually a pretty crappy one at that.
A very small
remote that you can never find. I mean, talk about losing your remote. Silver remote was lost for the past 3 months. I had no freaking idea where it was.
Yeah,
that's first here at my house to go find it.
You know what's crazy about that is even though the iOS interface supposedly has the ability to do everything that can and more, there are a couple controls that just do not respond.
The other thing is if you ever reset your Apple TV.
Oh yeah, you're totally screwed.
And you can't you don't have the remote, you're done. You can't get on Wi-Fi, which means you can't.
Yeah, you can't even use your the TV remote. I have my TV remote set up to do things with my Apple TV. So I have another one that, in case I lose one, the way that you program that is you don't tell your remote how to, use the Apple TV. You tell your Apple TV how to interpret the retarded things that your remote's doing.
Yeah. So let's talk about the one cool, good channel in this update, Sky News, which is free. And lets you get.
I was actually more excited about that than the other channels.
What's Sky News?
It's UK's basically the closest thing I can equate it to is CNN, but out of the UK.
Huh.
So it's a 24-hour live news channel.
Huh.
Yeah, and they have a live feed, so you can watch live news out of the UK.
Yeah, you can watch it live. Plus, they have specials and other articles that they've previously run that you can go in and find. So it's not just hit the channel and watch whatever's happening now. There's old content or previous content you can go check out.
But again, for cable cutters, I am most excited about this kind of stuff where it does have live feed options. Or like even the Wall Street Journal channel has, I think, a live feed, live feed in it. I don't know if it's 24/7, but you know, Sky News would be 24/7, so I can turn it on and get live news, and I don't have to have CNN on my cable service.
Yeah, I don't have cable service, and haven't for over a year, and it has not been a big deal for me. And not having local news, stuff like that, whatever, because I can go find local news online in my web browser. Getting Sky News to go along with Wall Street Journal channel on Apple TV, that solidified me never having cable again, ever.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. You know, one of the things that you don't get if you cut your cable is the ability to, like, if you're in my area, you're worried about tornadoes and that sort of thing, or if you're in Adam's area, you worry about earthquakes, or do you even worry about those things?
I probably worry more about wildfires than earthquakes.
Okay, so wildfires, it's like fires in Jeff's for area. Me. Yep. So for those of us on AT&T who don't already have the special fancy alerts, now we do. Or you will if you go and prod your iPhone to update it. So now you get government alerts. You get, at least in the U.S., amber alerts, emergency alerts. So assuming it actually works, tornado, fire, earthquake, all that kind of stuff, and presidential alerts as well, which has never been used.
I was at my user group meeting or meeting with some people in my user group last night, and a couple people said that when this update got pushed by AT&T, they it messed up their phone.
It totally
and
messed
one
up
guy
my
actually
phone
had
too.
To go get a new SIM. It like bricked the SIM.
Oh wow! It didn't.
Yeah,
didn't screw up my phone that much. What I had was that my my iCloud account got totally jacked around, and I was sending messages. Like, I usually send messages from my iPhone as my phone number, and make FaceTime calls as my phone number, and obviously have iCloud on and like working and stuff. And when that installed, it screwed everything around, and I thought maybe it was just because I jailbreak, but
yeah, because this is a background push carrier update, right?
Right.
Which I think rewrites the SIM. So I think
no, it doesn't.
Maybe...
I don't think it does. Actually, I'm almost positive that it doesn't. Because
he said that's what AT&T told him, is that the update would have written to the SIM. And
I think they're retarded and wrong.
I think they're wrong as well.
Because based on what I do to get tethering on my phone, I know how those carrier profiles work. And it's just, it tells the phone how to deal with the carrier. I don't think that it has anything to do with the SIM card.
Huh, weird.
And I'll tell you this, it did change the way, for anybody who does do tethering, it did, because part of the things that you have to do to turn on tethering, if you do it manually, you have to screw around with the carrier settings. And I figured, okay, it's probably going to override it. And it did. And I lost tethering. And so I figured, okay, I just got to go in there in the updated files and change things around. And it took me a little bit to figure out exactly how to do it, because it's a little bit different. But
is this also the one that opened up so the NSA can listen in on all our calls?
Yes.
No, that cool. was already done.
That was they were doing that for a long time.
Yeah, that was a carrier update with the iPhone 3GS.
I was pretty entertained by the people who were saying that, oh, I don't like that I can't turn off the presidential alerts. And like, I don't want to get SMSs from the president. And then you have to then people pointed out that they've like never, ever used that system once. It's used for like nuclear attacks and stuff.
Oh, I thought you were joking. There's actually a system for that. Like the White House can send an alert to my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's been like a bomb dropped on the country, then they would probably use this thing to be like, yo, dog, it's on.
Get in a bunker.
It's on. Yeah. Get in a bunker.
Yeah, it'll probably be like that big boom you just heard. Yep, a bomb.
Yep.
Actually, I don't even have to worry about that living in San Diego because we're like target zero.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Huge military presence here. We've got...
Oh, I see. Target zero as in first target, not never target.
No.
Right.
Yeah, ground zero.
Yes. And Denver has the second largest number of federal government facilities outside of Washington, D.C. So Denver is a zero target as well.
Yeah. I would probably not get the alert because my phone just wouldn't exist at that point.
Your phone would be vapor.
Right. And then for me, I'm nicely situated between Denver and Yosemite, which is a supervolcano. So if that should go, which would be a huge natural disaster, I'm kind of screwed either way.
Yeah, but you wouldn't care.
For Yosemite, I probably would, because there would be enough time from when it happens to when I'm dead that I'd be able to think about it.
Oh.
Not for long.
You're saying if Yosemite blew up because of the thing?
Yeah.
Super volcano.
Yeah.
Am I going to be affected by that thing? Or can I like...
We will all be affected by it.
Yeah, we all would.
We all going to die?
You won't die, but you'll be able to live to mourn my loss.
I will. Yeah. I will mourn.
You'll be really cold, probably, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's too hot right now. I don't like turning on the air conditioning.
Isn't that the kind of thing that causes like ice age kind of conditions?
I don't know about that.
It blocks out the sun.
Well, you know, as long as SpaceX is still around to like take us to Mars, I don't think it matters.
Oh, crap. We shouldn't have talked about the NSA. They're coming.
The sirens. Yeah.
Why are these guys with black suits and silver pens standing in front of me right now?
I saw a really cool YouTube video. It's like a NSA Prism music video the other day.
Nice.
I'll throw that in the show notes. It's really good. I found it on the Pirate Bay. I just found out about the Pirate Bay too.
I think Johnny Ive could have gotten a more creative title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God of design.
Senior vice president of pissing people off. Yeah, so now his title is 25% less. So it's now senior vice president of design. So was it industrial design? I thought it was design for, like, didn't they change that a long time ago?
Apparently not.
I thought they changed that.
Well, I mean, his title did change when Forrestal got the boot.
Yeah, what did it change to? I thought it changed to design. I must be crazy.
Well, yes, but
oh,
okay. Okay. So, according to the link you sent us, so he's senior vice president of industrial design.
He was industrial design. Now it's just design, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it just changed. I thought it changed when Forrestal went away. That's all. Whatever. It's changed now.
What does archive.org
yes,
say?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, check archive.org. And we'll move to something that I messaged you guys about immediately when I saw this.
The contrast thing.
When did he get the boot? When did Forrestal get the boot?
I don't know. Sometime last year.
That was at
October 2012. I bet Siri
Rowett
would know.
Got the axe.
Siri would know. In iOS 7.
Yeah, Siri would say, "I don't know who he is. He is dead to me."
October 2012. Okay, cool.
October 29th, 2012. Yeah. So there's a report from Reuters saying that Apple is looking closely at bringing larger screens to the upcoming iPhone models. They're saying between 4.7 and 5.7 inches. Now, prior to WWDC 2013, I would have said, probably not. And for the same reasons that we've always been saying about changing the iPhone screen, primarily because it means that developers would have more work to change their apps and make them work on a bigger screen. However, I was watching one of their sessions and realized that there's this thing called auto layout that they've had available for the Mac since 2011. In 2012, they brought it to iOS, and now in 2013, they're really pushing it hard, and they have some really great abilities for developers to use auto layout. And what it allows them to do is, in a very simple way, lay out their interfaces in a way that is, right now, orientation and iPhone 4/iPhone 5 dependent, or independent, I should say, so that when you do your landscape on your app as opposed to portrait, your buttons will stay in a place that makes sense. So you can say that this button should be centered and X amount from the bottom or X amount from the top, and be able to very easily scale your buttons using graphics that you have. So you just say, maybe you have a button that is a very specific size and you want to tell Xcode to make it so that it can be stretched relative to the size of the device or the orientation of the device. So immediately you just say, okay, I want this to be sliced up so that it can be stretched horizontally or stretched vertically or stretched in both directions appropriately, and it will automatically chop that stuff up and very easily provide that dynamic height and width for you. And this is something that Apple is totally pushing developers to do because it makes sense, especially just with the ability to change orientation and the fact that there are iPhone 4S's and iPhone 5's. I think that if they get their developers going on that, bigger iPhone screens are just not going to be a big problem. sure there will be a couple things that will be difficult, especially if you're doing custom interfaces. But then again, I don't know how deep that ability goes. It could apply just as easily to something that's more custom as well. And I think that there's definitely demand for the bigger screens. There's no doubt
about it. Not 5.7, though,
that is pretty big. I mean,
oh God, no.
I don't need it to be that big, but you know, bigger screen, yeah. But at the same time, there are people who would love a huge iPhone, a 5.7-inch iPhone. Sure, why not? You know, give it to them. A bigger than an iPhone 5, something that's a little bit wider and maybe a little bit taller, something that just gives me more information and not just that vertical axis, I would very much enjoy.
Frick, why don't we just put phone functionality in the iPad mini and call it a day?
Okay, so that's the thing. I think the iPad mini is too big.
Right, just, yes.
I'm saying something in between the iPhone 5 and the iPad mini, I would love.
So that 1-inch difference is huge.
Totally, yeah.
You know, playing with Samsung phones, not for the interface, but for the physical form factor, when I get bigger than an iPhone 5, it's worthless to me.
Really?
It becomes a device that's difficult to hold. It's no longer something I can use one-handed. And it stops being a smartphone and starts being a tablet that, by the way, does phone calls. And to me, that's a bad place to be.
Because yeah, when it becomes... Yeah.
If I can't use the device one-handed, it's not a phone anymore.
Yeah, when I can use it to...
A cocktail tray.
I was going to say to splint my leg, you know, because it's broken. Then it's too big.
If I had a dollar for every time I used my iPad to carry food or other things somewhere, I would have many dollars.
They do work well as trays. Yeah.
They're really good trays. I like it. So yeah, that got me really excited when I saw that, because I think that it's a much greater possibility and it's would be a lot less of a big deal for developers. I mean, you'd still have to get those apps that aren't doing that to do that. But then again, there are quite a few apps out there that have been totally abandoned, that aren't even upgraded to Retina and stuff that, I mean, there are a couple that I use. There's that app Convert by TapTapTap, which was the most beautiful conversion app that I've ever seen. I thought it was awesome. It was incredibly functional and it looked great, and it's not even Retina.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that's another problem entirely. Did we address the fact that there's no paid upgrades and no trial period? Is that something? Okay. The bigger question is, could they add that? Yeah, of course they could. Will they add it? Do you think that there's a possibility that it makes sense for Apple to add that for iOS 7?
Yes, it makes sense for them to add that. Will they? I have no hope that they were ever going to do it.
Yes, I agree with you, Adam. It makes sense. I don't see them doing it. Apple treats the App Store and the Mac App Store like they treat their retail locations. You can't go in and pick up a software box off the shelf and take it home and try it out come back and say, yeah, I'll buy it.
You can try.
That's their philosophy.
You can try a Mac, but then at the same time...
But the software, that's what I'm talking about. You can't go in and pick up a software box, take it home, install it, try it out, and then come back a couple days later and say, okay, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, but have you seen Apple stores lately? Have you seen them compared to Apple stores of like 5 years ago where they were chock full of software and now they barely have anything? They're moving to the cloud for the obvious benefits of the internet, and that affords you the ability to do paid upgrades and the ability to do trial runs for software, which enriches the ecosystem by providing the ability to see if you like something that's cost 20, 30, 40 bucks.
Yet now get Apple to listen to you say that. Good luck.
Yeah, I got to figure out what their phone number is first.
1-800.
It's not my Apple. They don't care.
Suck it.
1-800-SUCK-IT.
1-800-SUCK-IT. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I just killed it. Just took all the air out of the room right
totally,
there.
Totally killed it. Pegatron. We're hearing from Pegatron, the giant Megatron or Transformer guy.
They're more than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm. Their chairman says that the lower cost iPhone will not be cheap.
Yeah, it will not be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense.
It will be inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
It will not be cheap.
It'll be, I mean, obviously we have the iPhone 4. Firstly, I would like to say that the iPhone 4 on iOS 7 is total crap, and even iOS 6 on it is pretty hard. It's pretty,
on what?
Pretty impassable on the iPhone 4. So when you talk about, oh, the iPhone 4 is free. Yeah, it's free, but it kind of sucks. And it's not new and shiny. It's the old model, and it's very obviously the old model.
What's the price on an iPhone 4 now? You can get them for free, subsidized, but what would the... Do we know what the unlocked cost is?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm sure I could very easily figure it out as, you know, after I finish vamping while I'm looking it up on Apple's website at apple.com. $450.
So the low-cost iPhone, even if it's a mid-priced iPhone, is probably set to be lower cost than that.
By at least a little bit. I would say $200 to $300.
By $100,
maybe?
Yeah. $100.
Yeah.
But you would say that it's probably going to be better, though. I would say significantly better than the iPhone 4.
Yeah, I mean, spec-wise, it's going to be way better. So it's going to be way better and cheaper.
Yeah.
Than the current low-cost offering. So that's all Apple has to do. So I guess in some ways this would make sense if that's what he's saying. So he's saying the rumors that it's going to be a $99 retail phone. That's what I heard. A retail price would be $99, and I'm assuming by retail they mean the subsidized price, which would put the unlocked price at $400-$500 probably.
Well, the unlocked price on the 4S is $540 or $550, I should say.
And you can get those for free, right?
No, you get them for $100.
$100. Well, there you go.
I think that's too expensive. I think Apple's going to be shooting lower.
I think you'll be disappointed, Michael.
Well, yeah, I won't be too disappointed because I'm not looking forward to it. But
free is free, though. I mean, or $99 is almost free to most people buying phones, I think, these days.
I guess.
Yep.
So what, then you'd say the iPhone 4S is going to be the free one?
No, there's not going to be no iPhone 4S.
Okay.
You're going to have $99 and you're going to have $199 or whatever you pay for a base iPhone now. Is it $199?
Right.
For what now?
A 16 gig iPhone 5. What does that cost you subsidized? $199?
Yeah, I think it's $200.
Yeah.
So my feeling is if Apple releases a new iPhone that's their low-cost iPhone, then they will do away with the previous model program that they currently have.
I don't think they want a single iOS device iPhone or iPod Touch on the market that doesn't have a 5-inch display.
That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Okay. So unless you guys have anything else to talk about, I think we should get to our picks.
Pick.
All right. Adam, since you seem to be chomping at the bit, I'll let you go first.
No, I don't have one. I got to go on Appler and check.
Okay, Jeff, you go first.
All right, so my pick this week is AltaMail, and it's a brand new email application for the iPhone that gives you desktop email application features, but with a touch interface, and it supports pretty much every type of email account, and uses swipe gestures to let you reply and delete and sort and it handles attachments, and it's a surprisingly versatile application. It's brand new. I have had a few problems with crashes with it, but other than that, it has proven to be a pretty versatile application, and I think it has a lot of potential to be the power user email app for the iPhone.
What is it called?
AltaMail. AltaMail, all one word.
Okay, so not ultra, not like Ultra Mail, but Alta.
Right.
Like Alta Vista. Mail. Is it made by Alta Vista?
Right.
Do they still exist?
I don't even know if AltaVista exists anymore.
Okay. It's $5.
And yeah, there you go.
iPhone and iPad. Cool.
I know what I'm picking.
All right, go.
And I don't know how to pronounce it. Taya Sui Sketches, a new drawing app that came out, I think, June 1st. And I am a sucker for drawing sketching applications. I think I've bought just about every one that's come out.
Yep.
And I have recommended a few on this show for various reasons. So I love Paper by 42. I think it's great. I love Procreate. I love Sketchbook for how advanced it is, Sketchbook Pro. And I love ArtRage for how well it simulates textures and brushes and tools and things like that. My favorite thing about Procreate always was the simple interface. And then on Paper, it's super simple, but I love it for that reason. The cool thing about Taya Sui, it's T-A-Y-A-S-U-I. I'm sure it's a Japanese word, and I'm sure I'm mutilating it. The cool thing about this is it sort of combines all of those things together. So it has the beauty and simplicity, I think, of Paper. It has a lot of the layered sort of textures and rich tools that ArtRage has. It has the simplicity in terms of controlling brush size and those sorts of things that Procreate has. And then it just has a nice complement of different tools like Sketchbook Pro, but it's not like over the top. And so I haven't had a chance. I just picked this up a couple days ago. I've only played with it a little bit, but it seems to be this perfect mixture of all these other apps that I've bought in the past. And I think it's going to quickly become my favorite sketching application. And it's free, although I would say it's really $1.99, because if you want to get the more advanced controls, like being able to sort of control your different tool sizes and stuff like that, you have to pay $1.99. So it's using that freemium model, which I'm not a big fan of. I wish they just charged $1.99 to everybody and give them all the functionality, but you can try it out, I guess, for free. You know, this is the workaround that developers have had to use for that problem we talked about earlier of not having a trial. Yeah. So you can get the full tool set. You just can't do a lot of the more advanced controls. But again, they're not overly advanced, which is what I love about it. It doesn't go crazy. Like Sketchbook Pro is awesome because you can do everything in it. But it's almost way more than I need in most cases. So this is like this perfect balance of all these different apps in terms of the UI, in terms of the tool set, in terms of the functionality. So I'm very impressed by this one.
I've downloaded it too. Haven't had a chance to really play with it much yet, but it looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way you do sharing in it is kind of cool too. It takes advantage of swipe gestures. You swipe up, like if you want to share a thing from the main document screen, you slide it up and it sort of slides it into a little folder. And then you slide out and drop little stamps like a Twitter stamp or a Facebook stamp or whatever on it. And then you swipe it up to send off the envelope. And then it posts to whatever social media services you want to share on, which is kind of cool. So it has nice little UI treatments like that are kind of fun.
Cool.
Yep, and it's $1.99.
No, is it?
Well, it's free, but really you just spend the $1.99.
Yeah, okay.
You'll be much happier.
We'll call it $1.99. Taya Sui Sketches.
Yep.
And that'll be in the show notes so you can click it and not have to spell it. So my pick this week is called Meditate. And it's for all of you out there who either want to get into meditation or are struggling to, or you do and you want some way to track the time during which you meditate. So this is a fairly simple tracker for meditation. So you can have several different amounts of time that you meditate. So I think that, let me see. Yeah, you can have four different presets. So you can have like the 10 minute, 20 minute, 30 minute, and 40 minute, and that's what it comes with. So then with each of those, you can have your preparation time, your meditation time, and a certain interval at which it tells you you've gone. So if it's like the 10 minute one, it'll let you know when you've gone 5 minutes. And the way that it does it is with a pleasant little ding sound that isn't too jarring when you're meditating, which is obviously something that you want to have. And I'm going to have it go now. Probably sounded a little bit louder than it would have been.
That was
pretty jarring.
It's not. It's only jarring because it was held right up to the microphone. And especially when you're expecting it, it's not a bad deal. But you can also change the sounds that you use. So if you want some other sound, then you can do that too. So there, yeah. And the number of times that it chimes and all that stuff. So, you know, it's free. So if you meditate, it's a nice little thing to let you know. Because, I mean, in the past, I've used the timer on my iPhone. And that works okay, but it's nice to have something that's dedicated to that, and it has a nice sound, and lets you know at certain intervals. So that's cool. Check it out. It's called.
Is that why you're more mellow this week, Michael?
Am I more mellow?
Yeah, you're all meditated out.
I've been a little meditated, yeah. A little tranquilized. Meditation timer. So it might just be on sale. But it's free right now. So there you go. That's it. That's the deal. Meditate. All right. So with that, you can find our show notes as well as the iPhone picks at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review us in iTunes. We love that. And it's always great when you tell other people to check out the show. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address. 202-642-6667 is the phone number at which you can call us. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at jgamet on Twitter, and zazzle.com/jgamet. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's awesome, as always.
Are there still fires over there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado's on fire.
as it always is when you're there.
It's not a good thing either, people.
No, it's not.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version.
Yep, and I just point out that Meditate is on sale, and I know that because of GetAppler.com. Says right there.
Oh, that's a handy site.
Price drop on June 6th from $2.99 to free.
Yeah. I didn't buy it until it was free, so.
My favorite price, $3.99.
Yeah. That's how I figured out it was for sale because I had it bookmarked. GetAppler is GetAppler.com, and you can follow all of us there and see all the apps that we like. I'm just Michael Johnston there. Adam is Matt Cast, and Jeff is Jeff.
I got to get rating. I have 603 unrated apps.
I need to get back to rating also.
I have 803 unrated apps, and honestly, some of these apps, I'm just like... The problem with me, and you guys probably have this issue too, is a lot of the apps that I've unrated are ones that someone gave me for free, and I just have no desire. I had no desire then... And I have no desire now to look at them.
Yeah, or you install it, you look at it for a minute, and like, no, not happening. And you delete it, and then it's out of your mind. And
yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's basically I don't rate the ones that I don't remember how I felt about them because I don't want to say that one sucked or was good and I don't remember how it even worked. So... I guess you can just use the hide button for those. You can just hide them.
Or just let them sit there and read it.
Yeah, that works too. So with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. A phone.
All right, so here's my Teletubby story. So a few years ago, I'm at Mardi Gras, and there's this big protest going on where you have the very conservative religious groups with signs and Bibles that they're literally thumping. And they're going on about how Mardi Gras is the devil's work and how bad homosexuality is. And so, of course, there's a whole bunch of people from the gay and lesbian community that are there counter-protesting. So, and then this one gay guy in front of me goes on about how, you know, we're individuals and we're all doing our own thing. And the Bible thumpers are getting louder, more aggressive. And this one gay guy that's near me is just going like nuts and getting louder. And he's got a Tinky Winky doll. And so he's waving this Tinky Winky doll in the air. Like, I don't think he realizes it's still in his hand.
Uh-huh. He's just talking and he's moving his hands.
Yes. And so at this point, I'm thinking, this entertainment is too good to not get involved in. So I start saying little things to kind of egg on the gay guy, because, you know, I'm actually thinking I can feed him stuff to say and it'll be great.
Yeah, what are you saying?
Well, you know, I start saying, you're all individuals. He's going, yeah, we're all individuals. And you're thinking for yourself and you're living your life. We're thinking for ourselves. We're living our own lives. You're not following anyone blindly. We don't follow anyone blindly. All hail Tinky Winky. All hail Tinky Winky. And the next thing you know, there's this crazy mad frothing crowd of gay people all running around following this guy as he waves Tinky Winky in the air, and they're all going, all hail Tinky Winky. And the Bible Thumper crowd is just, I mean, they're at a complete loss. They had absolutely no idea how to respond. My sister, who's standing there with me, she goes, you totally did that on purpose, didn't you? Like, yep.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Communicator.